Thank you. Thank you. Today, for a change, I'll earn the applause. For change. I haven't been giving you very much data. You've been digging it out of your banks, this ACC. Some of you are good miners. Others are taking the gold nuggets found, throwing it onto the slag heap, and carefully pocketing the dross. I don't think we have anybody now at this time who is simply going along with no cognitions or anything. Remember old John was processing a fellow? This guy was in a wheelchair, had every disease known to man. John was processing and been processing for some time. Fellow had about 125 hours. John finally said, "You know, I'm suspicious of this PC. Not once has he said, 'Well, what do you know?' Not once. He just sits there and does it and does it and does it. And not once has he ever said, 'Well,' or 'Gee,' or 'Wow,' or 'What do you know?'" And let me assure you that John's point was well taken. That PC body was in better shape, but the PC never found out about it. He never did. Never found out about it during all of that auditing or any subsequent auditing that he was given. He was just sitting there waiting for somebody to do something with it all, hoping that he wouldn't notice. And that's an interesting point about a PC and something you should remember. If you have a PC that's just going on grind, 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 and never says, "Wow," or "Gee," or "Well, what do you know?" You get pretty suspicious because you have not plumbed that PC's reality or even touched it. He has no reality on what you were doing at all, and you've got to find some entrance point for his reality. And today that's pretty easy to do with overt with whole straight wire. But if right now in this unit you have anybody who has not at any time during the unit said, "Gee," or "Wow," or "Well, what do you know?" Well, you better get to work. You better get to work. Because you're carrying the full load, and he has not once sparked any different reality from the workaround, walkabout world and an auditing session. It's all the same vague blur. Same blur in all directions. Okay, well, let's now get down to the lecture. And the title of this lecture is Clearing General Cases Communication Process. Now, once upon a time, there was a comet. And it was on its way for a very, very, very long time. And it was actually visible and in view for a very, very long time. But nobody noticed it. Nobody noticed it. And one day it landed with a horrible bang, and everybody noticed it and says, "What is this brand new thing?" Well, that's something on the order of this process we're going to discuss today, discuss it and all of its variations, the communication process. It's been around for years and years and years. What I'm going to tell you has been on its way for the longest time, unimaginable planetarium eons. And you won't realize that it's landed until you run on it. You're going to sit there now and be very, very, very happy about it. And Well, Ron says pretty good, so it must be all right. Then one day you'll be sitting there being the innocent bystander in the PC's chair. And something will go boom. And you'll say, "What happened? I have known about this for years. It couldn't be. Nothing could produce this big an effect." And there'll be. You don't have to remember this, what I've just said. It'll happen anyhow. You'll get run on this before this course is over, because this is the one you go for theta clear on. The process we will call the communication process, simply because it's been around long enough to have been known all this time. Its earliest genesis is July 1950. Recognition of communication as one of the three key points of the ARC triangle. 1951, about September, recognition that communication was the most important of the trio, affinity, reality, and communication. Now, here's the history of the track. You might be very interested in the history of the track. You've been there. You've been on a track. But I have to tell you about it, though. It says that you need some auditing. Remember the factors. They come onto the history of this communication process. Because you chuck something at somebody, and he chucks something at you, and back and forth, and things got misowned and all of that sort of thing, and we finally wound up with a universe. Well, the basic action of any chucking about, the basic action of any overt act, the basic action of saying good morning or handing somebody pay or making space or making time is all involved with communication. Communication is the common denominator of matter, energy, space, time, life forms, and continuing existence. Whatever else is there, there is communication. There had to be communication before anything else could occur. Now, before you could kill somebody and feel sorry for it, you had to communicate. That's for sure. Before you could help anybody and feel good about it, you had to communicate. Before you yourself could be communicated with to any degree, you had to communicate. And that is the thing which Thetans very definitely overlook, that the outflowing communication is prior to the incoming communication in all cases. You have to communicate out before you get any communication in. Directors of the Promotion Registration Department, please note. Address Department, please note. Certainty, ability, communication, affinity, all magazines, please note. Sort of works like this. In the absence of communication, there is no beingness. Wow. So be, do, and have are all preceded by communication. In the absence of communication, there is no beingness. So if you want to go and sit on a mountaintop and meditate, you just jolly well go right ahead and do so. That's up to you. But when you disappear, even to you, you'll know what happened. You omitted C. Now, we all know basically and fundamentally that an auditor in practice, a group functioning, or a central organization does not exist unless it communicates. You can walk around in your neighborhood for a very long time saying nothing to anybody before anybody or anything says anything to you, even though you are packing along a body which in itself is a communication particle. If you volunteer no outflowing communication, you're not going to get any back. If cities were to learn this, it might even be that the people next door to people in the apartment would get to know the people next door. There's a high probability that this would occur. These people are specializing in cities in not communicating, and they certainly specialize in not being known. The silly fellow who, to hide himself, goes and out into the western deserts of the United States or the bush, he's being silly because he becomes visible. The place to become invisible is in a big city. There is the total invisibility. There are enough bodies so they don't mean anything. But out on the western deserts, a body? Wow. Obviously, all bad men are in big cities, because the bad men in western deserts get shot. At least so the western films tell us. Now, wherever you have a particle, let's just go for broke on this, shall we? Wherever you have a particle, its basic purpose is communication. Where you have space, its basic purpose is communication across. So all particles of whatever size or kind, and all masses or significances, energies or flows, are fundamentally and primarily communication. Every particle is a communication particle. Now, there's some other oddities in connection with this that have very little to do with this process. And one of those is this, that things which are not in motion don't communicate. A total stillness does not communicate. Because, of course, a total stillness would be an absence even of reflection. That's an unobtainable absolute, but nevertheless is a theoretical proposition. That a totally motionless object, no vibration in it, around it, or of it, would be visible or would be able to communicate in any way, shape, or form, except perhaps a Thetan and his first definition is that he ain't. No mass, movement, location, and so on, until he says so. All right, a Thetan who says so or permits himself to be informed so, thereafter can be communicated with and can communicate with. It's quite interesting. All things are communication particles, no matter what else they are. Now, it's very difficult to see how somebody gone to rack and ruin would consider his body a communication particle. But it is very easy to see how a very pretty girl would consider her body a communication particle. And about the best way to upset anybody is to ignore him. because you've said in essence that he is not a communication particle. Hence the anxiety about acknowledgement. Just standing there, he is in motion. He is in motion. He has a beingness. And all of these things, to some greater or lesser degree, transmit. In other words, another beingness becomes aware of his beingness by the reason of his existence, his identity, and so forth. Now, you say a mass being totally motionless would, of course, be visible. No, a mass totally motionless would disappear instantly out of the time stream. As a matter of fact, this is an old magician's trick. You just reduce the motion out of everything and it drops out of the time stream, just like that, bang. Elephants disappear, buildings disappear. Boom. Communication particles cease to communicate. And even today, the field of white magic specializes in prestidigitation and in tricks with mirrors and magic boxes, trying to counterfeit this most ancient magic trick. Now, an old process of trying to hold something totally motionless, hold it still, you know, that old one, actually is a graduated line up toward being able to do this one trick. It's graduated up toward making something totally vanish. If somebody had a big enough postulate and enough agreement and told the whole universe to stand still, it would simply vanish. Not hang in the sky, have the sun hang in the sky while the day stood still and all that sort of thing. The way I think, is it Mother Goose Rhymes or something like that, where this thing hangs in the sky and stands still? I forget it, that. It's some early minor book of some kind or another. It's called the something or other. I've forgotten what it is. The Koran. No, that's wrong. But if somebody made the sun stand still, you wouldn't have any sunshine from there on out. Now, oddly enough, all things seem to protest a little bit against things not communicating. That's interesting to know, isn't it? Interaction of matter is a sort of a protest against anything being totally motionless. People protest about other people's lack of or too much of motion. We have anxieties about motion, but these anxieties of motion are all secondary to anxieties about communication. If you have somebody with an anxiety about motion, says life is going too fast, city life is too fast, country life is too slow, the world we live in is going too fast, there isn't enough happening, I'm bored, you know, these are all protests, plus or minus randomity protests, one kind or another. What's out of order in his think box is communication. That's the basic thing. All of these other ideas and anxieties about motion stem at once after communication has gone awry. And you get one of these fascinating views of somebody being totally agitated or distressed or frenzied or upset or lunatic or ambitious or something. And you get protests about it and so on. You want to do something about it. Well, the first thing you would do about too much or too little motion would be what? Be communication. Now, very often, we find somebody whose communication channels are closed down in some fashion, as somebody who's a little bit deaf. There, we're headed right straight at the fact. You know, there's nothing covert about that. That's right there. Person's just a little bit deaf, something like this. Now, if we think that remedying his communication will remedy his deafness, I can assure you of only one thing. that it will be across a long period of straightening up anything else that's wrong with him. Obvious communication difficulties tend to surrender last. The glasses on people's noses, the deafness, speech, these things tend to surrender last. That they exist visibly does not necessarily mean that the individual's communication level is all that low. Because you can shoot a gun off alongside of somebody's head and he can't hear afterwards. Well, this doesn't mean that the man's total character has gone up in smoke just because somebody banged something loudly. You can throw some sand in somebody's eyes and he'll have a bad time seeing for a while, and somebody may even put some colored glasses on him or something like that to help him over it. That doesn't mean that he went berserk in the process. But a confirmed and continuing difficulty with communication channels does tend to indicate a long, somewhat arduous course of processing. Now, that just tends to indicate this. That's all. Now, there's nothing much wrong with this, but you could make a casual estimate of length of time in processing by examining the state of an individual's communication in PT. Now, we've known that for a long time. How a person does or doesn't write letters. That's all part of a tone scale. How a person will or won't appear. Substitution, other factors on the reality scale, all depend on communication as the first and foremost entrance point of observation. Now, when we speak of communication, we do not speak just of speaking. We see this as any emanation or receipt of any presence. That's a very broad definition. That wall is or is being communicated to you. You see, so that is communication. If you couldn't see it or sense it in any way at all, for you, it wouldn't exist. If you don't believe it, close your eyes and get the idea the wall's there, and then get the idea it isn't there anymore, and you'll start feeling rather lost. Now, where an individual enters into communicating, he departs slightly from knowing. Most people are communicating to find out something. Truthfully speaking, it is not above anyone's imagination to imagine knowing something without asking about it. And from that point, you could conceive of a state of knowing about something with no communication taking place regarding it of any kind whatsoever. Well, a person who can do that is totally BATS or OT. It's one end of the chain or the other. In the midpoint, this broad, instinctive knowingness tends to disappear. And after a while, this individual, not that one deteriorated in this line, but you'll find this individual I'm speaking of, a lunatic, in jail or in a spin bin, knowing all about the councils of state, knowing all about this and all about that, knowing all about things which aren't happening at all and which don't even exist. You see? That is simply an exaggeration of a sense of instinctive knowingness in absence of communication. Any ability a thetan has can be specialized and then aberrated to such a degree that he can do nothing else, and that sense is totally out of control. This we call madness, and gives us our various types and shapes of madness. Anything you can do right could be specialized and aberrated both into being lunatic. It's a matter of fixation or dispersal. A person who disperses away from all his other abilities and fixates totally on one ability is always known amongst us to be a little queer. He's known just to be a little bit odd. Hence the general manufacturing opinion of the professors and mathematicians and electronics engineers they employ. The manager will put up with a great deal because he knows this fellow is highly specialized and therefore, without further observation or study, a little bit mad. He knows this. This is the best thing he knows. Everybody has some evidence of this. And as a matter of fact, every now and then, somebody is very chary of specializing in some particular line for fear he'll get into this trap. But it isn't specialization that does it. It is aberrated specialization that does it. And we take a Scientologist. He finds out all about the mind. He specialized in the mind. Good. He's done a perfectly clear-cut observation and specialization. Well, I can assure you, we won't go mad. Absolutely certain. But let's take somebody with a very specious body of knowledge. Let's take a druid priest. And let's take him and make a superstitious specialization where he is the specialist on all superstitions that bring on or shut off rainfall in Western Wales. And then not let him think, talk, or act about any other single thing. Now, his body of knowledge is already aberrated. Now, groove him into it to a point where he doesn't dare relax in any way at all on the subject, and he would give every aspect of a madman. See how this would be? He would look very peculiar to all of us, as a matter of fact. You could specialize in truth all you pleased and get only truer. But when you start specializing in madnesses of various kinds, you merely get madder. And where communication channels have been very veered and very mad, where they've been targeted very poorly, aberrated, dispersed, and shunted, you of course wind up with madness. Communication, all by itself, would never make anybody mad. But all further aberration down the line depends on communication for its charge. Without communication, there will be no charge. If you put communication right with anybody, you will put right the rest of his existence, because it is his existence. The two most associated factors are reality and affinity. His liking for, his feeling toward, his emotional response, or shall we say, rate of motion, is affinity. Affinity has to do with location and rate of motion. Motion and emotion. Do you remember that one? All motion has influence on emotion, and emotion has influence on motion. There's a lot of little experiments along this line which were quite interesting. What you did with a man's hand at various points on the tone scale, and what he would do back. This is very, very, very curious. The man in apathy, you move his hand aside, and it just goes flop. He didn't do anything else in it. Just move his hand aside, and it just goes flaps. Apathy. That's no control or causativeness toward motion. A little bit higher than that, you take a fellow in grief, and you move his hand over like this. It'll stay pretty well where you put it. A little bit higher, you take a man's hand off of the table, When you look away, he'll sneak his hand back onto the table again. Covert hostility. A little bit higher than that, you try to move a man's hand on the table, and it goes... Freeze. 1.5. Just try and move his hand. You don't believe it? Someday try to get an angry man to move to one side or the other, and you'll run into a total rigidity. A little bit higher up the scale, antagonism. You move an antagonistic person's hand, and he moves it straight at you. Just the fact that you try to push his hand away will cause him to move his hand towards you. Instant reaction. Now, an individual who is in the vicinity of boredom, when you move his hand in boredom, he kind of keeps it in motion. You start to move his hand, he says, "What's the matter?" An individual who is being very conservative in conservatism, when you move his hand, you start to move over there, he will look to see where his hand is going to be moved to, see if that's all right to move his hand, probably move it back or move it towards you. He has power of choice over that motion to a very marked degree, but he is cautiously exerting it. Now, move a man's hand in enthusiasm, and you generally get a speech. Hey, yeah, move his hand. He says, "What's the matter? Well, how are you?" You know, shake hands with you and pat you on the back. Quite interesting. Causativeness toward motion. This is expressed in affinity. And affinity is actually the amount of motion involved in the situation, or how much the individual is cause over the motion that is taking place. Now, we have our reality as simply a beingness or form or the actual particle itself. Not the rate it's vibrating at, but the actual particle that is there. Reality is basically communication with a vibration, if you can imagine that. And being able to sense whether or not the vibration is vibrating or not, or the degree that it is moving or relatively not moving in relationship to other things. But you could say that reality is the communication with an affinity. You could make all sorts of specious definitions, but we have now come in to a tight little circle whereby A is defined by R and C is defined by A and R, and A is defined by R and C, and here we go, you see. R is defined by A and C. These three things are interoperative. Well, if these things are that important, you'd certainly have to hit these points. You'd certainly have to hit these points in processing somebody. And you hit them all the time with your early drills. You were putting up a pure communication drill. You see, you're putting up a relatively pure communication. And just sitting there saying, "Do fish swim or birds fly or anything else," is highly therapeutic. He must be there because he realizes that you were communicating with him, which validates his presence. And a tremendous bundle of reasons why this works. Now, you can sit there and simply repeat something to somebody and have him repeat something back and have quite an auditing session. You find this out all the time, of course, on Comm Course. People on Comm Course say, this Scientology really works, you know, and all they're learning how to do is maybe confront somebody or repeat a command or acknowledge a command or something like this. And, of course, you've kited them right straight back to beginning of track, and there they are. Now, the first postulate on the track is apparently not know. A person's potential knowingness is so total that he has to not know something in order to know any particular or specific thing or start to specialize. Then he can have location. then he can have association. But what does he have to do in order to not know? Well, I'm afraid he has to communicate. So communication isn't even a postulate proposition, if you want to look at it that way. The definition of communication itself might even be totally native, because anybody you ever saw was doing it, one way or the other. He was either communicating or refusing to, one or the other. He had something to do with communication. And I wouldn't go so far as to say that communication is part of native state, which, when exercised, drives the Thetan mad. I wouldn't say that. But, by golly, sometimes it looks that way. However, it isn't communication itself. It is how he employs it and what he does with it. And when he misuses communication, you might say he's practically departed from a divine right. Now, here's one of the first things he does that gets him into trouble. He conceives of something being over there. He communicates with it. That doesn't get him into trouble. But he decides it would be wrong for him to totally communicate with it, and he withholds his communication or conceives that his communication can be misdirected or reformed or changed. Now, that takes some doing. That's quite a decision. One of the ways he does this is decide that whatever his target was didn't deserve it. Good or bad, that he shouldn't have communicated. Therefore, he has already let in the idea that his communication can be modified by its target. Okay? Communication can be modified by its target? Well, who's the author of this communication? The Thetan is. All right, if he's the author of the communication, then how does he conceive that it won't land? Well, he's the author of it. Who else can say that it won't land? Well, nobody can say it won't land except himself. Well, the way he finally comes around to believing that it won't land, and it won't do him any good to communicate, and that he shouldn't communicate, and he should withhold communication, winds up in a mishmash called aberration. Simple as that. Just how does he achieve this first one? Well, he sort of denies self, we have said. Well, he denies his authorship of the communication, or he denies the fact that he should be communicating, or he tries to recall a communication, or he tries to do something to counter intention. And right away, inside the individual himself, you have intention, counter intention. See? You got consecutive instance of time, pocket, 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 consecutive instance of time. He intends to communicate. He says, I'm wrong, you see. And he intends not to communicate. But he intends not to communicate the communication which he's already communicated. So he's had it. You say, well, it's an oversimplification. Aberration certainly couldn't consist of this. But actually, aberration does consist of this. There are people walking around, holding in all the ills of the world. And they know that if they communicated, some of these ills would escape. So they better not communicate. I ran into the blackest black five I ever ran into. This man, when he closed his eyes, had total solidified ink. And his case wouldn't move at all. Not at all, not at all. Terrible. And you know what he thought he was doing? He was holding all the blackness on earth away from all the other people. We never did break him of doing it totally. He didn't get very much good auditing. He was running with the squirrels by that time. But there he was. That's interesting, isn't it? What do you do, feel sorry for this guy? Or do you say he's just a damn fool? or something. Maybe he does have some influence on the blackness of this universe, you know? Who knows? Who knows? What is this? Now, is this man a saint or a devil? That's the problem. Is this man a saint or a devil? He knows that he's liable to muddy up everything for other people if he talks to them. That's what he thinks. There are people around who don't communicate because if they communicated, they know they would shower the world with disease. They're withholding all sorts of weird things. And they've been holding them back since the beginning of track, and that's the pity of it all. And the more they kept on creating it and holding it back, the more they accumulated. You eventually have what you call a bank. And a bank surrenders in one of two ways, either by the exercise and improvement of direct communication, or plowing up and finding all the old bad communication. You can do it one of two ways. You can re-educate the fellow, or you can run it all out. And the processes which we use today do a little bit of both. You've got to teach him by processing that he can communicate safely without slaughtering the whole world off or something like that. At the same time you're doing this, you have to proof him up against being overwhelmed by all the things which used to overwhelm him on the subject of communication. You might say that a thetan has been educated first to communicate and then not to communicate. And rapidly in that order, to communicate, not to communicate, to communicate, not to communicate, and goes on downscale and gets more and more rapid and so on, until he finally freezes as a little solid vibration. Well, how do you do this? Well, obviously, you'd pick the thing which would run out things and which would show him he could communicate. And the basic process we get on this is, of course, find a spot from which you could communicate. Fundamental research wording. Now, that simply educates him that he can communicate. He'll look it over and find that there are some places he can communicate from. This puts it on the cause side. But remember, that's the research wording. That doesn't do the whole job. Now, the other side of it, the other side of the wording, is from where could you communicate? Which does both. That makes him ransack his bank and find out if he could communicate from anywhere. Now, of course, the extreme obverse of the coin would be recall a time you communicated. See, you just say to the fellow, well, look around here and see if there's any place anywhere in this universe that it would be safe for you to communicate from. See, that would just be rehearsing or practicing or reassuring him. And the reverse side, which would be total subjective, that would be the objective version, total subjective version, would be recall a time you communicated. See, that would be the total subjective version. And the midway version, which is the right version, to use the best wording that has worked out along this line, is simply from where could you communicate? And we catch one or the other as they fly into view. An individual goes subjective and he goes objective and he flips around the bank, acts up, and other things. Now, maybe there are better wordings of this, and if there are, we will find them and use them. But I'm just showing you the extreme versions and the mean version of that exact process. And that's a good one. Now, we don't use from whom have you withheld communication and so forth. We don't use that. In spite of this, what do you suppose happens to a case if you take all the communication out of it? Isn't it true that he got into confusions because he communicated? What do you think these confusions are going to do in the bank when you start stripping them? What are they going to do? Well, this PC's going to go wog every now and then, isn't he? He's going to be hit by some confusions, that's for sure. Because the more positive communication you educate him into, the more his bank tries to educate him for a little while into not communicating. There are several processes that do this one, but this one does it mildly enough so that it usually is very tolerable. If you ask a person, subjectively, think of something you could not know, he will be overwhelmed by confusion. He'll go out like a light and be dazed and won't know whether he's going or coming for days and days. That's probably the most catastrophic subjective process there is. Recall something you could not know. Or think of something you could not know. If you're going to get anybody to not know anything, you have to get them to not know what they already know. You ask the PC, what could you not know about that wall? And he says, the color of it. Well, that's perfectly all right. He says, who built it? I could not know who built it. Well, he doesn't know who built it. How could he not know who built it? He couldn't, you know. He couldn't not know who built it because he doesn't first know who built it. You get the idea? And you ask the individual just uncontrolledly and with no further coaching, think of something you could not know. And he will think of all the things he doesn't know. And he'll have had it. You go, wog. I don't think that runs more than about 12 or 15 minutes without knocking somebody flat. And it takes at least 2 or 3 days for the fellow to get out of the dizziness of it. It's quite a whack, this thing. Now, you get a little bit of this, of course, when you run something like, from where could you communicate? You get a little bit of that. Why? Because, of course, it was the communication which underlay every mishmashed communication there was. So by running out communication out of the bank, you run out miscommunication. And he'll get a lot of miscommunication, let me assure you. You'll find for a while with a PC that he evidently can only communicate from the middle of those things which destroyed him. He's been using them for communication assists ever since. Then you'll find out his various dependencies, like communication on a voice, communication on this. If you're ever going to get a guy to talk from the middle of the room, outside of a body, you're going to have to flatten this process. You yourself are ever going to be able to tap a Bobby on the shoulder and say, see here, old fellow, don't you think it's about time you went back to Station House? Have him look around and find nobody. If you're ever going to pull any tricks of this character, which I don't advise, you're going to have this awfully flat. Because at once, you have to be able to hold on to the security of a location before you have anything from which you can communicate. And most people who aren't communicating have something wrong with the location from which they are trying to communicate. It's the location that is haywire. That's why old locational processes work, by the way, is because they were establishing accurate and exact locations. This one works very much faster. Now, there's no reason to embroider it particularly and say, from where would it be safe for you to communicate? Who cares? This particular process translates into Hottentot, Pekingese, any kind of a language, Brooklyn, Mayfair, almost any tongue can communicate this particular auditing phrase, and that's why it's a hot one. You can get this in almost anything, one way or the other. Now, the next graduated scale on this is not necessarily easy to communicate because it requires a definition A word that some languages, amongst silly and aberrated people, have no word bar. So it's not quite so easy, nor is it quite so easy to do. What we do is flatten off this from where could you communicate and get that nice and feather dusted and the individual in pretty good shape. And who knows, it might be a one shot all the way from the bottom to the top. It's not been done at this stage, but probably will have been done in 2 or 3 months from now because I have some projects of this character working right now. Probably go from bottom to top, just as one shot, as a one shot clear. Of course, there are other things that you could do that would speed it up. Well, that would not be the fastest way to clear, but it possibly could be done. After you've got this all polished up, the little brass knobs are all shiny and everything is fine, then you run this one. From where could you continue to communicate? Makes more madmen in less time if simply run from scratch. That is the primary problem of a thetan. And that gives him all of his mishmashed here, go, there, elsewhere, substitute, have a body, be a tree. You just start stripping the whole bank of stable data solutions on beingness. And the bank just starts stripping like mad. And, of course, tends to almost cave in on the PC. So this is a rough one. This is a rough one. This is for bold gals and strong men. And nearly clear thetans. Now, here we have a process that bypasses to a marked degree, undercuts most other processes. Here is the process that runs out all auditing. Here's the process that runs out injury, mispostulation. Runs out various attitudes. We'll run out the whole minus tone scale. You find an individual has successfully weathered opprobi dupe. If he's done it, anything that happened in it wrongly will run out on that process. Now, a person who is not doing too well and who has a very thud sort of case very often gets into this process and doesn't do too well with it for quite a long while. And that person should obviously be run on overt with whole straight wire. It's a faster process. It's not that this other process won't get there. The communication itself is far, far, far too unreal. The first communication this fellow would think of was a communication would be getting run over by a truck. And he'd say, ah, at last somebody's communicated. Why do you think these people go around all the time trying to get run over by trucks? They want their first, most basic reality on being communicated with. Somebody appreciates them. It's just that the communication itself, as such, doesn't communicate to the PC, that's all. But whom have you killed? Well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, it says here on the meter you've killed somebody. Who have you killed? Well, I don't know. I got a funny feeling in my nose. Who have I killed? Let's see. Who have I killed? Who have I killed? Strong meat. But communication? Oh, that's something else. I couldn't do anything with communication. I've always been a good boy. I wouldn't do anything with communication. I don't know anything about it. That's why I Why, communicates all his pure sweetness, you know? Light. Never did anything to anybody. Never have. Just talk to him the way I do my brother, you know. Sweet, give him advice. Tell him what's wrong with him. Of course, every once in a while, he makes me mad. And then I could kill him. And that has nothing to do with communication. Nothing. You get cases that have impact reality, in other words, and they don't go anywhere very fast on this process. They get there, but it's longer look than we'd care to take. Well, these two processes are probably the beefiest and the mildest that you would care to run into until you've done something of them or experienced them one way or the other. You probably wouldn't be willing to believe they are what they are. But I would go along so long overlooking them or overlooking the directness of it. Isn't any wonder, because I didn't even quite know where the exact entering point, you might say, of track was. Well, this is the entering point of universe, or all universes. Universes do not exist prior to communication. They might exist instantaneously with communication, but they don't exist prior to them. This individual says, well, I think I'll dream up a universe. I won't look at it, but I'll dream up this universe over there. Now I will go look at it. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. If he said, I think I'll dream up that universe over there, I'm afraid he had to be in communication with it right now, didn't he? So it's at least simultaneous. And communication normally proceeds with considerable velocity and charge early on the track, and therefore later communications are a very pale substitute for it, and they just get less and less. The person communicates less and less, and increases power. To communicate is to increase his power, period. We all know this to a marked degree, and we do know that when we've improved a case, we've improved his communication level. So therefore, getting an individual to communicate, to get a security about communication and so forth, is, you might say, a fundamental of theta clearing. Whatever other conditions exist amongst theta clearing, unless we've done that, we haven't done anything. Now, of course, if we improve his communication level, we'll have improved his affinity and his reality. And he will move on the reality scale and so forth. And we can do it directly addressing that particular button. There are probably other ways and means to clear a case with one shot, but if they are, why, we haven't heard of them. There are many other things to do to theta clear an individual, and this is not a panacea and a total answer. This is merely what gets him over the bulk of his difficulties along about the middle or toward the end of the case. And you've got to do other things to finish him off and so forth, but somewhere in theta clear, you've got to straighten out somebody's communication, and that, as far as I know, is the best way to do it. Thank you.